This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayikra, and the shir is titled Pass the Salt. Tonight's shir, we're going to talk about Korbanos a little bit, but one aspect of Korbanos which deals with salt. the whole Parsha is filled with Korbanos, and I thought that this idea and this concept was interesting. It also has some practical relevance, not just in the area of Korbanos, so we'll get to that at the end of the shir and try to explain how it fits into practical halacha or minog. So let's take it up from Vayikra Parak Beis Pasuk Yud Gimel. It's really one pasuk. It says, "V'chol korban min chasecha b'melach timlach v'lo sashbis melach bris elokecha mi'al min chasecha al kol korbancha takriv melach." So every mincha korban has to be salted, and you should not omit salt of the covenant of Hashem from your minchos, from your meal offerings, and on every korban, you must be makrivit, you must sacrifice it with melach. So there seems to be an idea of melach. There's a couple strange concepts in the pasuk that need to be defined. But the main question I want to take up tonight in the shir is, what is this idea of v'chol korbancha takriv, al kol korbancha takriv melach? This idea that on every korban there must be salt. Why is that necessary? What is the concept behind using salt with every single korban? So that's really the main question of tonight's shir. And that's where we're gonna start from, that idea or that concept. But let's just look at what the halacha is to get it clear. What exactly is the halacha that comes from this pasuk about korbanos? If we look at number two, the Rambam in Hilchos Isura Mizbeach Parakei Halacha Yud Aleph, he says clearly, "Mitzvos aseh limloach kol korbanos kodem shiyalu lamizbeach." It's a mitzvos aseh to salt all korbanos before you put them on the mizbeach, shenemar, as it says, al kol korbancha takriv melach. On every korban, you should sacrifice it with salt. Ve'ein lecha davar shekariv lamizbeach below melach. Nothing can go on the mizbeach without salt. Chutz miyein ha'nesachim ba'dam va'etzim, except for yain, the wine of nesachim, dam and etzim. Ve'davar zeh kabbalah ve'ein lo mikra lismochalav. But this idea that these things are omitted is Kabbalah. There's no psukim. U'mitzvah limloach habasar yafe yafe kumaleach basar litzli. And the mitzvah is to salt the meat very well, as if you're salting it to put it on the grill. Shemahafech esa ever umaleach. You're supposed to turn it over and salt it. Vim malach kolshu afilu begargir melach echad kasher. But if you're just salted one part of it with one grain of salt, your yotze, it's kasher, the korban is good. Okay, so the basic halacha is that whenever you bring a korban, a mincha or an animal, and you put it on the mizbeach, you have to salt it, or you have to put salt in the mincha, and that's a mitzvah saseh. And in fact, there's a mitzvah lo saseh to bring a korban without salt. It's asur to bring a korban without salt. So the question, as I said before, is what is this concept of salt? Why is it necessary to bring korbanos with salt? I was thinking about how to approach the shir. So before we get into the shir, I just want to hear some thoughts. Why do you guys think, what are different qualities or characteristics of melach, of salt, that you can think of? And maybe we'll be able to use those ideas or see these ideas in the Rishonim. So what do the people on the phone line think? What are different concepts of salt? Outside of korbanos, if you're just thinking about salt, what are different qualities or characteristics of salt?
It can be very grainy and it's white.
Okay. It's white and it's grainy. What else? Anything else? I'm talking about in terms of what it does, its function. How does salt function? Yeah, so one idea is that it adds flavor. Good. Are there any other ideas? That's a good characteristic, and that's one idea that we're gonna see. What, anything else that salt does?
It cleans things out.
Cleans things out, okay. All right, anything else? Good, it cleans things out. It cleans, we're going to see, what do you say? Yes, it heals. Okay, good. All right. Okay, so we have a couple ideas out there. We're going to see in the Rishonim that they focus on different characteristics of salt in order to try to explain why this mitzvah exists, to salt the korbanos. Okay? So we have a couple on the table, but I think we're going to add some other ideas. The first first shita that I want to take up in terms of explaining the philosophy is the Sefer Achinuch. And he actually analyzes every mitzvah in the Torah, and he tries to give an idea as to what the root of the mitzvah is and why we do the mitzvah. And I think he gives a pretty simple pshat type of idea, concept, to explain why salt exists in every korban. So in number three, it's the Sefer HaChinuch, a mitzvah, Kuf Yates. Kfar Amarnu, a mitzvah, he's explaining the idea or the concept behind the mitzvah to salt. He says, Kfar Amarnu, a mitzvah, binyan habayis. I already mentioned, or it was in the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash, ki misharshe mitzvah sakorban lahachshir uliyahashir nefesh hamakrivoso. The idea of bringing korbanos is to make the soul of the person bringing the korban straight and kosher, to make it good and straight. Ve'al kein la'orer nafsho shel makriv, in order to awaken the soul of the person who's bringing the korban, nitzdave b'hakravas devarim hatovim b'harivim b'chavivim alav. He must bring things that are good and that are soothing and that are beloved by him. Ukmosha kasavnu lamala, as explained above. Okay, so the basic idea he's saying is that whenever a person brings a korban, you can't just bring a tire as a korban. You can't just bring, you know, a shoe. You have to bring something that affects you, something that will inspire you, that will, you know, awaken your, you know, your heart and your nefesh, your soul. V'hamelach bo gam kein mashor shazeh. So the fact that there's melach, that there's salt, is also, it also fits into this concept. Why? In order that this action of bringing the korban, whether it's a korban mincha or a korban of an animal, it should be complete. It shouldn't be lacking in the way that man does it, in his actions. What does he mean? Because then man's lave, his heart, will be more awakened by this korban. Things that don't have salt, food that doesn't have salt in it, it's not really pleasing to man, and in terms of its taste and in terms of its reach, in terms of its smell. So the basic concept that the Chinuch is giving an explanation for using salt on the korbanos is he's saying that it's in conjunction with the idea of korban. And the idea of korban is that you're supposed to bring things that man feels connected to, that he feels some type of potential for his oros halev, some type of potential for inspiring his heart. And salt, it fits into that idea in the sense that when you have food that lacks salt, it lacks taste, and a person has a diminished relationship to a food without taste or with a bad smell. So the idea of salt is in order that the item that you're bringing, that the person's bringing as a korban, it maintains its stature in the eyes of the makrif. And let me just read number four, where he talks about this in Binyan Habayis. And number four, it's Sefer Achiruch Mitzvah Tzadihei. He says, "V'o nosif dvarim al tzad pshat." So he's giving a pshat explanation for korbanos. V'nemar ki mizeh ha-shorish tzivanu akel lahakriv la'olam mehadvarim shalev adam home bahen. So Hashem always commands man to bring korbanos that a person is involved in and has some type of, he's busy in. Kimo habasar v'ayayin v'apas. So the three items that are mentioned are basar, yayin, and pas. Kedei sheis orer halev yoser ima esek bahem. Because man's heart will be more awakened and involved when involved with these things. Ula ani chayv lahavi mimat kimcho asher ina v'libo lav kol yom. And an ani who doesn't have these things, he has to bring a little bit of kemach, of flour, which ina v'libo lav kol yom, which he's concerned with. It's important to him. The flour is important to him because he doesn't have a lot of food, he doesn't have a lot of money, and the kemach has a certain amount of significance. So the basic, as I said before, the basic concept that the Sefer HaChinuch is saying is that it's important for a person to relate to the korban in a pleasant way, in a way whereby they'll actually have a relationship to the item, and salt prevents a person from having a distasteful relationship, because something that lacks salt, you know, it lacks a certain chashivas, importance to the person. Like if you bring meat that isn't salted, so it lacks in terms of, you know, a person's ability to relate to it in a positive way. And the idea, the concept of salt, is that it prevents a person from relating to the korban in a negative way, in an improper way. So, but really, the first idea that the Chinuch is focusing on is the taste of the salt. He says, "Velo taimo, velo afrecho." It's the fact that the salt adds taste and it also adds smell, which is an idea in the culinary aspect of salt. That salt, in a culinary sense, as I said, it flavors the food and it prevents and it gives it a good flavor, a good smell. So salt is being viewed in a culinary sense. Okay, But I just wanted to bring in the Rambam just to highlight an idea in the Chinuch, to explain the Chinuch a little bit deeper. The Rambam has a different idea for why it's necessary to put salt on every korban, but as I said, I think the Rambam will also relate back to the Chinuch. So let's read the Rambam. It's number 5, and I'm sorry for the bad print. He says, "The idolaters did not offer any other bread but leavened and chose sweet things for their sacrifices." So the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they would only bring chametz and they would put in like sweet, you know, honey into their sacrifices, which they seasoned with honey, as is fully described in the books which I named before. So the Ovdei Avodah Zarah would do that. But salt is not mentioned in any of their sacrifices, but they do not mention, there is no mention of salt. "Our law therefore forbade us to offer leaven or honey and commanded us to have salt in every sacrifice. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt." The Rambam is saying a different idea than the Chinuch, that the concept of using salt and not bringing seor and devash is in opposition to the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The Ovdei Avodah Zarah do the opposite. They put in honey and they bring in leavened products, but none of their sacrifices have any salt. Now, why do you guys think that the idolaters, he doesn't explain it fully, but why do the idolaters choose sweet things for their sacrifices? What is that concept? Good, excellent. Excellent. So the implication of the Rambam is that the idolaters, the way they look at korbanos is that they look at korbanos as food, and it's really that they're feeding the gods, and they spice them, and they put honey in them in order, in the same way that they would eat it and they would enjoy it, that's how they prepare their korbanos, because they really view it as if it's really food for the gods themselves. But why not salt? This is a good question. Why not salt? Why would the idolaters never put salt in their korbanos? So the Rambam doesn't say it here, but I heard an idea. I don't want to take credit for it. And I think the Rambam mentions before, he talks about an idea about dam amongst the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And this is on the right next to number 5, source number 5, right next to the what we just read, to the left of it, there is an idea about blood. Okay? And I'm going to read inside. "Although blood was very unclean in the eyes of the Sabaeans, they nevertheless partook of it, because they thought it was the food of the spirits." So the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they viewed dam, blood, as food that their gods would eat. "By eating it, man has something in common with the spirits, which join him and tell him future events, according to the notion which people generally have of spirits." So they believe that it had a certain power to drink blood. That's why there's an Isser in the Torah to drink blood, according to the Rambam, because the Ovdei Avodah Zarah believed that blood had a certain power to it. It was either the food of the spirits, and because it was the food of the spirits, it would give them power. There were, however, people who objected to eating blood as a thing naturally disliked by man. There were some of the Avodah Zarah who didn't want to eat blood. They killed a beast, received the blood in a vessel or in a pot, and ate of the flesh of the beast while sitting round the blood. So instead, they would take all the blood of the animal that they slaughtered, put it in a pot, and they would sit around it. They imagined that in this manner the spirits would come to partake of the blood, which was their food, whilst the idolaters were eating the flesh. Okay? So they would imagine that the gods were eating the blood. That love, brotherhood, and friendship with the spirits was established. And through that, they established a relationship with their gods because they dined with the latter at one place at the same time. It's as if they were eating, you know, dinner with their gods. Okay? So I think this reflects back on the idea of not using salt. Why? Because there's another aspect of salt that nobody mentioned before. But another aspect we know in kashrus is that salting removes blood, the blood of an animal. And in being moleach basar of an animal, that is the concept. The concept is usur for Jewish people to eat blood because the Rambam, I mean, this is the Rambam Shita, that blood, they believe that blood had power, and we're supposed to remove that, and it's usur for us to eat blood. But apparently, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they would never use salt in their korbanos, it would seem like, because of this function of salt, because they wanted to keep the blood in the animal, because blood functioned as the food of the gods in their minds. And that, I think, that really reflects on the Rambam. He doesn't say outright why they didn't use salt, but it really fits into what the Rambam's saying by blood, that the reason why they didn't use salt is because salt is functions to remove the blood, and because they viewed blood as having a certain power and being the food of the gods, therefore it would be inappropriate to use salt by korbanos when they sacrifice to the gods. But the Rambam is saying one general theme, which is what I want to try to hit on right now, which is that the main difference between korbanos of man and korbanos of the Ovdia, of Jews, sorry, and Ovdia Avodah Zarah is how we relate to the korbanos. The Rambam's saying that it's critical that we don't look at the korban as having any intrinsic power or any intrinsic value or being a food of any type for God. So there seems to be a balance. I think there's a nice balance here between the Chinuch and the Rambam in terms of their approach as to why we use melech. So the Chinuch is saying that man has to relate to the korban as food, but he can't relate to it as food for the gods. He has to relate to it as food in order to be misorer his own lev, be to inspire his own heart. And if a person doesn't relate to this food properly, if they view it as being like lacking salt, lacking tom, or lacking flavor, then it's not going to affect them in the proper way. But on the other hand, there's also an iser; it's improper to spice it, to put to add honey into the korban, to add honey into the mincha. The reason being because we can't relate to it as the food of the gods. So there's a very delicate balance here between these two ideas, between the idea that on the one hand we do relate to food as in the framework of man when we're giving korbanos, but only to inspire man. But on the other hand, we have to be careful and safe and not relate to the food as the Ovdei Avodah Zarah relate to it, meaning food for the gods. And they both have different approaches as to why salt. Like I said before, the Chinuch mentions that salt is being used for its culinary abilities in terms of adding taste and affecting the smell. The Rambam is referring to salt, I think, in terms of removing blood and its ability to draw out blood. But they're both focusing on the same idea, that the concept of the mitzvah to bring salt is in order that we relate to the korban, not as the Ovdei Avodah Zarah do. We should relate to it in a way where it inspires us, but we should not view the korban in any way being necessary to appease the gods or to feed God. Okay, so that is the idea. I think that is a nice idea in terms of why we use salt. Any questions? Thoughts?
I had a question.
Yeah, sure.
What's the difference between the process that we use to kosher meat?
Yeah.
That we use it, the salt for the korban. And isn't blood also used in the korban? Like, it is.
It is. The dam is spilled out, in fact. It's not really saved. It's thrown, and it's shofech. It's poured off the mizbeach. But the idea is that we don't keep the blood. Like, let me go back to the first question. In terms of the malicha, it's the same. The Rambam says in number two, he says, you're moleach the korban the same way you'd be moleach, like, basar for tzli. The same way you'd be moleach, a piece of meat, as if you're eating it, as if you're roasting it. But the second idea is that the Rambam talks about it, that the idea of blood in our korbanos is that we actually remove the blood, or we throw the blood out, which is the opposite of what the Ovdei Avodah Zarah do, which is that they give blood prominence, and they focus on the blood, because blood is seen to them as food of the gods. So it's different. Our korbanos are the opposite. Blood is a component of the korban, but we throw the blood out. We sprinkle the blood. We pour it out. Okay? All right.
Okay, I always saw that when they threw the blood, I always thought it was a part of the korban rather than just getting rid of it, because it was thrown on, wasn't it thrown like on the mizbeach?
Yeah. One second. I'm trying to find the Rambam in the Mora where he talks about it. He says over here, our law declared that blood is pure and made it the means of purifying other objects by its touch, and thou shalt take of the blood and sprinkle it upon Aaron and upon his garments and upon his sons and upon the garments of his sons with him, and he should be hallowed and his garments and his sons. Furthermore, the blood was sprinkled upon the altar, and in the whole service it was insisted upon pouring it out and not upon collecting it. And he shall pour all the blood at the bottom of the altar, and the blood of thy sacrifices shall be poured out upon the altar of the Lord of thy God. He's saying, as opposed to the Ovdei Avodah Zarah who collected the blood, because the blood had a certain significance, the Rambam is saying specifically that in our korbanos, we spill out the blood in order to demonstrate the opposite. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. It's in it's page 362 in the English version of the Mora. Okay, so but those are the two ideas of melech. One idea of melech, as I said before, is the culinary, and the other idea of melech is in terms of its ability to remove blood. But both ideas fit into the concept of korban. On the one hand, we have to have a positive relationship with the korban, and we have to use it to inspire us. But on the other hand, we can't view the korban as having any intrinsic power, nor can we view it as having or being real food for the gods, because that's an improper view of korbanos. So the Melech really gives us that idea. It focuses us on the proper idea of korbanos. Okay? Now we go to the one other idea in the Chinuch, which is a little bit more of a drush. In number 6, it's a second concept that he gives. U'milvad zeh yesh b'melech inyan acher romez. There's another idea hinted to in the salt. Ki ha'melech mekayim kol davar u'matzil al hefzed v'arikavon. V'chein b'masa korban yinatzel adam min ha'hefzed v'tishamer nafsho v'tisha'er kayemes la'ad. There's another concept of salt. That salt is a preserve. It preserves food. That before they had refrigerators, they used salt to prevent rotting and to prevent the loss of food, of meats and various foods. So salt has that concept built in of preservation. And he's saying that there's a concept, v'chim b'maisa korban, that the idea of korban is yinatzel adam min ha'hefzed. It prevents a person from loss and from rotting. V'tishamer nafsho v'tishar kayemes lad. And it protects the person's soul, and he should remain forever in that state. V'tishar kayemes lad. Okay? Now, this is a little bit of a strange idea. Is this just a symbolic idea, or is there a deeper concept here? Why is this such an important idea to reference the point that salt is preserves? It's a preserver. Now, I think there's a deep idea here in Tshuva that's reflected. The Chinuch's mentioning it, but it's reflected in the Rambam too. He says in number 7, Vidui Zeh, he's talking about Vidui in Tshuva, Vidui Zeh mitzvah saseh, Vidui is a mitzvah saseh. Ketzad misvaden, how do you do Vidui? Omer ana Hashem chatasi avisi pashati lefanecha v'asisi kach v'kach v'harei nichamti uvoshti b'masai ul'olam eni chozer l'davar zeh. So part of Vidoy is a person recognizing their chait, but at the end he says, I will never return to this. Ul'olam eni chozer l'davar zeh. Apparently it's important, it's critical for a person to believe when he's doing shuva that he'll never do the chait again. And the Rambam echoes this in other places also. In number 8, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Parak Beis, Halacha Beis. Uma hi ha-tshuva, what is tshuva? Hu sheyazov hachote cheto, v'yasiru mimachshavto. He has to remove it, and he has to leave the chet, and he has to remove it from his thoughts. V'yigamer belibo, shelo yaseu od. He has to have in his mind, and in his heart, that he'll never do it again. Shenamar yazov rasha darko. V'chein yisnachim al she'avar. Shenamar ki acharei shuvi nichamti. He has to have regret for what he did in the past. Right, and he has to have in his mind that he'll never return to this chait forever. So once again, the Rambam is mentioning this concept that he has to have in mind. Part of tshuva is a recognition that he'll never return to it. And then the last point in number 9, it's a similar idea, the same idea in the Rambam, where he talks about situations where darchei tshuva is removed from the person. One of them is v'ha'omer echdev ashuv v'chlal zeh omer echdev yom kippur mechaper. If a person says, I'm going to sin and I know that I'm going to do tshuva and it's going to save me, and that person is removed from darchei tshuva. I'm just trying to show from the Rambam that there's a concept that when a person does tshuva, if he does tshuva properly, in his mind he has to have the idea that he'll never return to the chait. If there's a part of him that believes that at some point he will, even if there is a possibility that it will happen, if he believes that, then it means that he's still attached to the chait in some way. And part of removing the chait completely from the person's existence is having in mind this idea that I'll never return to it. Because it really reflects a person's understanding of the chait, how damaging the chait is to him. But if there's a part of him that believes that it's possible for him to return to chait, the same chait, it means, or it's probable, then it means that he didn't really do tshuva gemura. He didn't really do tshuva because he lacks full understanding of the damage of his chait, and he's not really fully removed from the chait. He's still attached to it. So if we go back to the Chinuch in number 6, I think he's focusing on this idea. He says, V'chein b'masa ha-korban, yinatzel adam min ha-hefzed. The korban should save a person from loss. V'tishamer nafsho v'tishar kayem es la'ad. It'll guard his soul, and it'll exist forever. V'tishar kayem es la'ad. As I said, I think the Chinuch is pointing out this idea, he's focusing on this idea, that when a person brings a korban, he has to have this idea in mind, this idea that he will be protected forever from this chait. I think he's referencing korbanos in general as a means of doing tshuva, but he's saying that if a person believes that the korban, if a person believes when bringing the korban that he's not protected, that the potential exists for him to return to chait, then he's lacking and his hakrava is lacking. So the idea of melech is to remind the person of this idea in specific. It's to remind the person, or to give the person this insight, that when he's bringing the korban as part of his tshuva, he has to be aware of the fact that la'olam eini chozel davar zeh, that he's protected forever and he'll never return to the same, you know, to the same path that he was on before he brought the korban. So to summarize the three ideas of salt, which we got one of them in the beginning of the shiur, but there are three ideas of salt that are being highlighted by these Rishonim. One idea is its ability to add flavor and taste and affect smell, and that's the first idea of the chinuch. The other idea is the idea of salt in removing blood, that its ability to draw out blood from animals is critical, and that's what the Rambam is highlighting. That really, our concept of putting salt on is to demonstrate that we don't view the animal as having any power, or it's not a food for the gods. And the last idea of salt is salt and its ability to preserve. And it's trying to highlight to the person that when he brings a korban, he has to have in mind and he has to be aware of the fact that he will be preserved from chait forever, la'olam. And if there's a part of him that believes not, then he hasn't done full tshuva and his akrava, his sacrifice is lacking as akrava. Okay, so we got an overview of why salt and what the significance of salt is vis-a-vis korbanos. Okay, any questions? Okay, there's one other idea that I was kind of hesitant to bring in because I'm going to admit that I don't have a full understanding of this. Maybe, you know, people can help me with this, Rashi. I have a couple of ideas, a couple of concepts, and it's kind of a vague point, and it's definitely the most abstract idea, more so than the Rambam and the Chinuch. And I'm going to mention it because I think there are some ideas that we can definitely give for this Rashi. If we look at number 10, Rashi on the same pasuk, he points out this idea of melech bris. If we go back to number 1 in the sources, it says v'chol korban min chasecha b'melech temlach v'lo sashbis melech bris elokecha. Do not omit the salt of the covenant of Hashem. What is this covenant? What does it mean, melech bris elokecha? Rashi takes up that point, and he brings down a strange medrash. I don't know what the source of the medrash is. Shabris in number 10. Shabris krusa lemelach mishisha simei brachos. There is a covenant made with salt from creation. Shehuftechu hamayim hatachtonim likare v'mizbeach b'melach. The waters on the ground, meaning like the oceans, the waters, mayim hatachtonim as opposed to mayim halyonim, mayim hatachtonim, and we're going to see what that means. There is a covenant with them to be karav mizbeach, melach on the mizbeach, the salt on the mizbeach, v'nisach hamayim b'chat. And also nisach hamayim on sukkos. On sukkos, we have a special avoda called nisach hamayim, which is the water libation. That's what it's called officially. And apparently there's a covenant between God and the waters, the lower waters, that these two expressions of the lower waters should exist on the mizbeach. One in terms of salt, and the other in terms of Nisach Hamayim, this sacrifice of water on Sukkos. Now, the Sifsei Chachamim explains that the reference to the Mayim Tachtonim is that we have salt water, and if you separate salt water, you have salt and water. So that's the idea of Mayim Tachtonim. It's a reference to the creation of oceans, that when oceans were created, which are created salt and water, each component of the ocean was promised, there was a bris, that it would be expressed on the Mizbeach, and they're expressed in two ways. One way is through the Melech, this concept of with every korban there should be salt, and the other is Nisach Hamayim. Now before we move on and we try to explain this idea, I just noticed that Rashi is saying that there's two expressions, but those two expressions seem to indicate two different ideas. One idea is Mayim in particular, and the other idea is the idea of salt exists with every korban. So there are two expressions of Mayim HaTachtonim. One expression is with every korban. It seems to be critical that whatever this idea is, it has to be expressed in every korban. And then there also has to be a particular expression on its own of this bris with the Mayim HaTachtonim, and that's Nisach HaMayim. So the two expressions are really two different ways of expressing this idea, this bris between God and the water. And one is with every korban, and the other one is in particular. But what exactly is this? What is this bris with God and the lower waters? So the one idea that came to me was, if we look back in Bereshit, when was the water created? Water was created on the second day. In number 11, it's Bereshit Aleph, Parak Vav. Vayomer Elokim, Yihi Rakia B'socha Mayim, Bihi Mavdil, Bein Mayim L'mayim. Hashem created a division in waters, from the waters above and the waters below. Vayas Elokim Es HaRakia, Vayavdil Bein HaMayim Asher Mitachas L'Rakia, Uvein HaMayim Asher Me'al L'Rakia Vayi Chayin. There is a division between waters. There is the upper waters, the lower waters. The lower waters meaning oceans and seas. And then it says, Vayikra Elokim L'Rakia Shamayim, the upper firmament was called Shamayim, Vayerev, Vayibokir Yom Sheni. It's the end of the second day. So what I noticed, the one idea I think that can be expressed in Rashi, is that water is the first creation that has tangibility to it. Before water is created, all you have is Or and Choshech, and you have Yom and Laila, but you don't really have anything tangible. The first tangible aspect of creation is really the Mayim, is really water. And after water is created, then you have land and you have other creations. So to me, I think that Rashi's saying that the first ability for to use something in avoda, in service of God, is in, that idea or that creation is entrusted. What it means entrusted, I think, is that it's designed to be used in service of God, in avoda Hashem. So the idea is that the first possible thing that you could use in the world, in creation of the world, for avoda is used for avoda. You can't use or you can't use light. There's no ability to use the things prior to this, but this is the first tangible creation. It's the first creation that you can take of, you can separate it, you can hold in your hands. So the first possible entity that could be used, that is tangible, is used in the service of God, is designed for the service of God. And I think that's the idea of, like, I think that's one idea of bris krusa misheshishimei bracious. Apparently, the concept seems to be that avodas Hashem is designed, is part of creation. That in the very creation of things that are tangible, there is a designation for avoda as well. And normally we think of avoda being merely for man. You know, there is a gemara of Adam Nivra Mimakum Kaparasa, that a person was created from the place of that he gets kapara, from the ground, which is a reference to the Mizbeach. There's an idea that avoda is necessary for man's existence. But there seems to be another idea here that avoda exists apart from man, and it seems to be built in, designed in creation. In the very creation of the world, there is a designation, or there is a function of avoda, and the first thing that could be utilized for that is the water. And that thing is designed for avoda Hashem, is designed to be used in service of God. So the only idea that I can say for Rashi, and I know it's not complete, it's not a full idea, is that it's trying to teach man the idea of salt and water, these two ideas in korbanos. They're trying to teach man, when they bring korbanos, that the world was designed with avodas Hashem in mind. That it's not a new concept brought about, you know, at Har Sinai, but it's really a concept that was built into the designation of the world. And the first thing that could be used for avodas Hashem is designed for the service of God on the Mizbeach. So that's what it's trying to express. It's trying to express how avoda affects the world, that it's necessary for the world, and it exists apart from man. It exists as part of the design of creation. And that's as far as I can go. Does anybody have any other points that they can make on this, or any other ideas? Because maybe I'm not, you know, I'm missing something.
Your point, why would you say that you would use the salt and not the water, because the salt is a part of the water?
No, you use both. Rashi says there are two expressions of how the water exists in korbanos. One is through the nisach hamayim, which is the water itself, and that's a particular expression of the water. And then there's the salt, which is expressed in every korban. So both are concepts in this bris that was made with the mayim atachtonim, which is the concept that built into the creation of the world is the concept of avodas Hashem, of worshiping God, of the service of God on the mizbeach. But it's expressed in two different ways. Nisach HaMayim is only Mayim, and the Melach is expressed with every Korban. It's expressed throughout Korbanos.
What's the Nisach HaMayim again?
Nisach HaMayim is a Korban that they brought on Sukkos, and it was I don't know if you're familiar. Usually you do nisachim on the Mizbeach. You usually use yayin. You usually use wine. But on Sukkos, there was a special korban that they would put water. They would sprinkle water on the Mizbeach instead of yayin. And it was only on Sukkos. And that's called nisach hamayim. So there was a special service that involved only the water, which was an expression of this bris, this idea. And then there's also an expression of this in every korban. That within every korban, through the melach, there should be a recognition of the design of avoda in creation of the world. Okay?
I had that idea about it. Well, I don't know, but I always think of like water is like light, and salt is sort of like death, because like you have yamach that light.
Yeah.
So maybe it's an idea that everything in creation could lead either to life or to death, can be used for good or evil.
Okay, there is an idea like that brought down in the Ramban. I'm just not clear on that idea, but I hear what you're saying. You're saying that he does mention something along those lines. He mentions the idea that water is something that causes things to grow, and salt causes things to be destroyed. And there's in the water, in Mayim HaTachtonim, there is a combination of the two, and that's expressed in Korbanos. But so that is another idea. So it's definitely worthwhile to look at the Ramban if you want to explore that idea further. Okay? All right, so one last point. I want to get to the halacha, the halachic aspect. How does this relate? How does this idea of using salt on korbanos relate to us, to practical halacha? There is halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Samach Zayin, Sif Hei, says, Lo Yivtza Ad Shiaviyu Lefanav Melach O Lifton. When a person is breaking bread, when he's going to have a Seuda, and this is, by the way, it's not limited to Seuda Shabbos. People think that this halacha is limited to Seuda Shabbos. It's a general halacha by Lechem. Before a person breaks bread, he has to wait. He can't break the bread until melach, either salt or lifton, which is, he says, Peirush Rashi, kol davar hanechal im hapas. It means a dip. So either salt or a dip is brought out. Lelafis bo prusos habetzia, in order to dip the bread into. So you can't make hamotzi, and you can't break the bread until this happens, until you bring a chumas dip or whatever you like, or a melach onto the table. And the reason the Mishnah Berurah says is because of kavod for the bracha, that when you make a bracha on bread, the bread should be, it should be tasty, and it should be, fully edible. It should be shalem. But he says, v'imhu nekia oshuhu mituvelas betavin oba melach ke'in shalanu, if it's spiced or it's like refined, the bread, or he says, o niskavin lechol paschareva, or you want to eat it without salt, like you specifically want to eat it in this state, he says, eino tzarech lahamtin, then you don't have to wait for it, and you could just make hamotzi and eat the bread. So apparently, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha of bringing salt on the table is not specific to salt. It's either salt or lifton or some type of dip. And the purpose of it is in order to enjoy the bread on a higher level, in order to make the bracha on, on bread that's dipped into these things. But if you don't want to, if it's spiced, let's say you have, a nice challah that maybe Emily Lehrer would make, and you don't need any salt, according to the Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to put salt on. You can just enjoy the challah without salt. Okay. Umikol makom, but never look at the Ramah. The Ramah says, Umikol makom mitzvah la'aniach al kol shulchan melach kodem sheyivtza. There is a mitzvah to put on every shulchan before you break the bread, before you make hamotzi, you're supposed to put salt on the table. Ki ha-shulchan doma le-mizbeach, the shulchan is similar to the mizbeach, v'ha-achila ki-korban. And when you eat at the table, it's like eating a korban. V'ne'amar, and it says, al kol korbanacha takriv melach, quotes our pasuk, that on every korban, you are supposed to sacrifice it with melach. And he says, v'hu megin min ha-puranios, and it's supposed to protect you from bad things happening to you, and we're going to explain what that means. The Ramah is arguing with the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah is saying it's not a din in the kavod for the bracha that you have to make the bread tasty, that bringing salt or lifton or dip is to make the bread tasty, but there's a separate idea of melach, and he ties it to our idea of melach, because when you eat at the table, it's similar to a mizbeach, and it's similar to eating a korban. So it's a strange idea that I want to just understand. What is this concept? And the last part, which is very strange, is that by bringing the salt on the table, it's going to protect you. How does it protect you? How does the salt protect you? Megim in aparanios. Where does the Ramah get this from? He gets it from the Tosfos. There's a Tosfos in Maseches Brachos where he says, Rabbi Menachem, number 13, it's Daf Mem Amad Aleph. Rabbi Menachem, Hayam Medakdek Me'od, Lohavi Melach Ala Shulchan. he was very strict in bringing melech al shulchan. Note that it doesn't say that he ate it with melech. It says that you have to bring melech onto the table. Kedi'isa b'medrash, like it says in the medrash, kishiyisrael yoshvin al shulchan umamtinen ze'ezeh ad sheyidlu yideihem v'hein below mitzvos. So they're at the table, they're waiting until they wash their hands, and they don't have any mitzvos. Hasatan mekatrig aleihem, ubris melech megin aleihem. The satan tempts them, and the bris melech, by putting the salt on the table, it's supposed to protect them. Now, what exactly is he talking about? What does it mean that, how does this make sense that you put salt on the table, and it's going to protect you from what? What does it mean that the satan's mekatrig them, because they're sitting there at the table, and they don't have any mitzvos? It's a strange, seems like a very odd idea, odd concept, an odd concept. If we look in, I think there's an idea to explain how this works, and I think it'll give us insight into why we put salt on the table. We do it on Shabbos, but it's a general halacha. Why there would be an idea of putting salt on the table, and what it means to be dobe to a korban, achilas korban. But there's one other concept, number 14. It's a Mishnah in Maseches Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel. It's famous. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shlosha she'achlu ha'shulchan echad, v'lo amro lav divrei Torah, ki'ilu achlu mezivchei mesim. If three people are eating together, and they don't speak Torah at the table, it's as if they're eating zivchei mesim, which is a reference to a korban for avodah zarah. Shenamar, ki kol shulchanos mleo kei tzoa b'li makom. They're filled with dung. It's a reference to the tikrovis avodah zarah, to a sacrifice brought for avodah zarah. Aval, however, shlosha she'achlu al shulchan echad ve'amro lav divrei Torah ki'ilu achlu mishulchano shel makom. If people are saying divrei Torah at the table, it's as if they're eating from the shulchan of God, which is the mizbeach baruch hu. Shenamar va'idaber lai zeh shulchan shel lifnei Hashem. So the Avos is mentioning that there's a concept in eating that it's inappropriate to eat without saying Divrei Torah, and if you eat without saying Divrei Torah, then it's like Avodah Zarah. It's like you're eating the sacrifices of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But if you say Divrei Torah at the table, there is an idea that you're eating a korban. It's like you're eating a korban. You're eating from the Shulchan of Hashem. So I want to understand, I think this idea also comes back to the salt a little bit. So I want to understand what this concept is. So let me offer a possibility for this. See, a korban. So what does it mean that if you don't speak Divrei Torah, it's like you're eating the sacrifice of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah? So it seems that the idea of eating without Divrei Torah is that eating becomes a purely instinctual act without Divrei Torah. When you say Divrei Torah at the table, it's that you're not just eating for the purpose of satisfying the instincts, but you're giving it an intellectual quality. You're giving it a Torah and a halachic quality. And the opposite is the case when you say Divrei Torah. And why is it compared to eating a korban? Because eating a korban is the least instinctual type of eating. Eating a korban, eating the meat of a korban. Why? Because there are all these halachos. The most halachos in eating apply to a korban. You can't be tameh. You have to be tor. There's only certain places that you can eat the korban. All those only exist by korbanos. Even eating the korban itself is part of avodah. It's not just an instinctual act, but it's part of the. Idea of giving the korban. So the concept of eating a korban is that it takes the instinctual idea of eating and it gives it halachos, it gives it mitzvos, it gives it ideas and concepts to attach to the eating so that it's not purely an instinctual act, but it's an act that's filled with thought. It's an act that's not purely giving into the instincts. And I think that explains avos. It explains the difference between three people eating without saying Divrei Torah. When they don't say Divrei Torah, it's purely instinctual. But when you say Divrei Torah, you're elevating the meal and you're removing it from being a purely instinctual act and you're giving it a halachic quality to it. And that's the same thing as korbanos. When you eat a korban, there are mitzvos that apply to korbanos that don't apply to all other eating. And the idea of mitzvos applied to eating is to take the instinctual act and give it an intellectual, give it a Torah quality, not an intellectual quality, but more of a Torah quality, to give it an elevated status. So how does that fit in with the melech? How do we understand melech? And what does it mean that the satan's mekatreg? So the satan's mekatreg, the satan affects man, and a man is most tempted when their instincts are revved up. And when is a person's instincts revved up the most? Before, when you go out to a meal, and you're sitting at the meal, and you're waiting for the food to come out. So at that moment, your instincts are really revved up. All you want to do, I don't know about you, But all I want to do is just devour the food. I want to scarf through the bread, you know, get through the steak, you know, eat as fast as possible and just fill myself up, which is a purely instinctual act. And at that point, the satan's mekatrek, at that point, you know, a person has a tendency or has the ability to fall into the trap of the instincts and create or and have a meal that's a purely instinctual satisfaction or and have no intellectualism and no Torah attached to it. So the idea is that before a person breaks the bread, meaning when the person's instincts are revved up and they're heightened, at that point you put the melech on the table. And the concept of the melech, which is tied to korbanos, is to remind the person that this act of eating is not should not be a purely instinctual act. It should be similar to korbanos and to the eating of a korban, which is, as I said before, is an idea in servicing God and an idea that all these mitzvos and halachos are attached to it in order to make it not just a purely instinctual achila. So from our mitzvah in the Torah, from Vayikra, we learn out this minog, this concept of putting the salt on the table, which we normally do on Shabbos, but is a regular halacha by eating, in order to remind the person. It's to give him an idea, a knowledge, before he eats, when his instincts are revved up, that his eating should be of a certain nature. It shouldn't be purely instinctual. Okay? All right, so let me go back. Let me summarize the shir, give the main ideas of the shir. We started with the one pasuk in this week's parsha, which mentions bringing salt with every korban. And you have to salt the korban before you put it on the mizbeach. You have to put salt in your menachos before you're makar of them. Salt seems to be a critical idea in korbanos. And we're trying to understand why that is. Why is that so? And there are different aspects of salt that we highlighted and in order to understand how it fits in with korbanos and how it enhances the idea of korbanos. And one idea of salt was its ability to flavor. It is in a culinary sense, and its ability to add, you know, a good smell. And that is a concept in terms of allowing the person to relate to the korban in the proper way, that it should inspire him. He shouldn't relate to it in a despicable manner, but he should have a relationship, a proper relationship with the korban, and the salt enhances that or affects that. And then you have the Rambam, which used the mitzvah of salt in opposition to the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, because we don't believe that the korbanos have any significance in and of themselves, and we don't believe that the korbanos are foods of the gods. Therefore, we bedafka put salt in. We specifically put salt with every korban. And there's a balance there. On the one hand, man has to relate to it as food in order to be inspired by it, but on the other hand, we can't relate to it as food for the God, for God, for Hashem. And that's an improper idea of korbanos, and salt protects us from that improper idea. And then we had the idea of the chinuch, the last idea of salt as a preserver, that it preserves the food. And we're supposed to be reminded that in bringing the korban, we have to have an idea that our soul will be preserved forever. Meaning that there has to be a complete obliteration of our attachment to chet, and we have to have that in mind when we bring the korban. There can't be any part of us that believes that we will somehow come back to the chet. And then we came back to this. We had two more ideas. One idea was in the bris. The concept of the bris is that avodah is part of the design of creation. And the first tangible thing that you can use for avodah, which was the water, is something that was automatically designed from the very creation itself for avodah. And that's an idea in every korban in the melech, and also specifically expressed in the nisach hamayim. But both those ideas are to remind man, or to give man the concept that avodah is part of the design of creation. It's part of the design of the world. It's necessary for the world to exist. And then the last idea is this halacha of salt. Why do we bring salt to the table? We bring salt to the table in order to make our eating not a purely instinctual eating, but an eating like an eating of a korban, which is a different quality of eating. It's an eating that's instilled with concepts and ideas and Torah in order to elevate it from merely a satisfaction of the instincts to, you know, an elevated and a different type of eating experience. Okay, anybody have any questions, any thoughts? Okay, so that's the shiur for tonight. So everybody have a good Shabbos.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Have a good night.